Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
History will be made in New York City today. The trial of former President Donald Trump about to get underway with the process of jury selection.
Phil DeLisente, who has handled, honestly, some of the largest cases in this region with some insanely high-profile clients, kind of has a way of managing these monstrosities. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Marty. Good morning, Larry.
Curious what's going through your mind as an expert and as this process unravels first and foremost. Is it possible for Donald Trump to get a fair trial in New York City?
I think it's going to be extremely difficult. Whether you like him or dislike him, that doesn't even play into my mind. It just, here we have the Republican nominee for president who was a previous president. Sitting in office is now charged with state crimes that the federal government, the felony charges at least, the Federal Election Commission said, no, we're not going to prosecute you for. And now this local DA is doing this. So it's going to be very, very hard with the pretrial publicity. I can't imagine how long it's going to take to get. There's 42 questions, Larry, Marty. 42 questions they have to ask these jurors.
What's normal, brother, so people understand?
Yeah, what would be the average process to seat a jury?
Yeah.
So what happens is they'll bring in the you'll have a galley of potential jurors, but they'll ask them questions like, do you have any political, moral, intellectual beliefs or opinions which would prevent you from being on here? Do you know Michael Cohen? Do you know Donald Trump? Do you follow either of them? All these questions about social media. Have you ever, Donald Trump, has he influenced you in any way? I mean, really, it's the magnitude of this is just, and here's the reason why I'm troubled as a criminal defense.
Right.
Local prosecutors always defer to the, as we say, feds, that's slang, but the federal government on these types of things. Because it's the same reason Washington, D.C., you can't have, like, the local police arrest the U.S. senator, okay? They defer it to the U.S. Attorney's Office, which has jurisdiction for prosecuting all those cases. Because you don't want a local DA just starting to go around and prosecuting presidents and U.S. senators. So it's a little bit of insanity to me. And I know people are going to say, oh, why is that? Because this – no, it has nothing to do with whether I like them or dislike them. It's just – It's a problem, and now we're creating this chaos within the legal system, which is sort of painful to watch.
And okay, Phil, you've handled high-profile clients.
Yeah.
How do you keep them to shut up? Because no one's been able to manage Trump, even his, none of his family, none of his people, none of the judges. Because even in the most conservative papers, the Wall Street Journal, they say he's his biggest enemy because of social media postings.
I mean, that's one of these things where the ego a lot of times could be so great, you have to try to bring it in. And if you're going to have a message, you want it to be conveyed by the lawyer with the agreement of the client so that, you know, you have plausible deniability. Well, I didn't, you know, the client didn't say that. But he is really, as you said, his own worst enemy. His lawyers, as you know, he's gone through a tremendous amount of lawyers. And so you really have to sit him down with his family and say, look, this is in your best interest. But he's already upset that his First Amendment rights have not been violated. And I'm not so sure that they haven't to a certain extent when you make it a bond condition. A bond is to, are you going to show up and not commit any future criminal acts amongst other elements? It's not whether or not you want to speak out. So there's a lot going on in this one, a lot.
We're with Phil DeLisente. So, Phil, explain to people, because all they hear is porn star hush money. What is the real issue here in terms of the legality?
Yeah, so this is why he's in a kit and caboodle here. So his lawyer, Michael Cohen, imagine he paid his lawyer, Michael Cohen, and he put it on the books as legal fees.
Yep.
Michael Cohen turned, you have attorney-client privilege.
Yep.
So all the law students are listening out there. Yeah, there's attorney-client privilege, but if your lawyer goes south on you, the argument could be challenged that the privilege still extends. But in this case, they said no because there's a crime-fraud exception. And they're saying because of that crime-fraud exception, you can't testify against your former client. You knew what you were doing. He knew what you were doing. Now, he's going to – President Trump's going to say, the reliance defense. He was the one, or my accountant, I didn't know what was going on, which might be a great defense, by the way. I mean, he's running billion-dollar companies, president, you know, dating supermodels, whatever. Now, the felony, here's where it gets tricky. The misdemeanor is just because the actual act itself.
Right.
The covering up of it by putting it down as legal expenses is the felonious act. It's similar on tax day. Here's a good example. It's an analogy. Tax day. If you don't file your income taxes on time, it's a misdemeanor. Okay?
Yep.
But if you file it and you lie, it's a felony.
By the way, I love Phil so much because he's so smart about this stuff. You know, it's a felony, Larry, if a drug dealer does not report the proceeds of his drug activity to the IRS. This is where we get in this craziness. Hey, Phil.
Or gambling.
Gambling. I got to get to this with you. So even if convicted, he does no time in jail. Some would argue, and I mean this, Larry, that this empowers him further, that his followers, his people just shrug at this stuff and say, you're just piling on the man.
Clearly they
right,
do.
Right, Phil?
Well, there's no question. I mean, you're getting attacked from all angles, and then you're seeing unprecedented ones, right? Because you look at the records case, and they say, well, other presidents do it, and they get cleared. Why is Trump in trouble? Then you see this one where the federal government said, no, we're not going to prosecute, but a local guy's going to prosecute. And it just goes on and on and on. And so you're exactly right. And one thing I could tell you about President Trump, he's not going to back down.
No.
And if he, let's say someone would try to put him in jail, it would be like Pablo Escobar back in the 90s.
It really would, Larry.
You'd have to build a whole prison just
it's
for him.
It's so true.
It would be insanity.
Yeah, well, it's only just begun today. And
yes. Yeah.
How long can you imagine this process taking?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Could you imagine those 42 questions? And those were the ones that I could just off the top of my head. But
Wall Street Journal saying 4 weeks, Phil.
Easily.
And Trump, by the way, Larry, Trump has to be there. He can't go out and raise money. He can't campaign.
If you can sit there,
yep.
If you can sit there during that whole time. So, you know, I'll tell you.
Hey, Phil, all lawyers, like all talk hosts, have egos. Would you
yes.
take this case if presented to you regardless
yes.
of the lunacy?
Yes.
Yeah, he would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, I would. I'm not saying I would be able to stay on the whole time. You know, you could do a noisy withdrawal. Lawyers do not have to just remain with clients that they feel are for, you know, I'm not going to get into that.
No, I get it.
But you can just withdraw. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't like this one.
Hold on. Before you go, Phil.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to move this somewhere. Same anywhere, right? I mean, unless they got him down south where he's going to get much more of a far right jury pool. But does it make sense to try and get this moved?
Well, you know, it makes more sense, yes, to a certain extent.
Okay.
Because they've done the voting tallies. But the other thing is the delay. What harm would it have caused the Republican nominee, whether it's a Democrat or the Republican
right.
nominee for president, to delay this? I mean, that to me, if you ask the general public whether they like him or dislike him, it just tends to smell. The whole thing tends to smell bad.
Yeah, but if you delay, what if? Now, if he becomes president, and as it tracks right now, it's pretty much a toss-up again.
6 to 8 weeks it's going to take, the Wall Street
but
Journal.
But he's a
saying.
Former president, so, you know, I say, how's it any different?
Like 6 to 8 weeks, Larry, of this.
You still stand up when he walks into the room. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is...
It's just not going to change either way.
No.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah.
All right,
great
Phil.
Stuff, Phil. It's fascinating, really.
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
If you wrote this as a movie, no one would believe the movie to be true.
No, absolutely. It'd be too far-fetched.
It would, brother. It's fascinating. Phil was amazing. And there's a piece today that just came down. This is a Pyrrhic. Is it Pyrrhic or Pyrrhic? Pyrrhic victory.
Pyrrhic.
Yeah.
Pyrrhic victory.
Meaning? the victory is too great of a cost.
Right.
Right?
I think it goes back to some great Greek battle.
That's too great of a cost to the New York legal system. Everybody thinks the fix is in. He can't win in New York. It's all Democrats. He just can't. They hate him there, regardless of his success there. So I would love this. I've been in high-profile trials my whole life. I was in the trial of Henry Lee Lucas, a serial killer accused of killing 70 people. I sat in there, and it's fascinating, but this would be amazing to sit in the courtroom and watch. As big as O.J.? Maybe. Maybe.
Well, in the fact that who the person is,
right.
As Phil points out, it's never happened before. It's unprecedented.
Right.
You have a former president who's also coincidentally running and has a good chance of winning.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about the size of television audiences have diminished. However, I wanted my kids to kind of understand the size and scope and scale of O.J. because none of them were born, of course, when this whole thing went down. When the verdict came in, brother, as many as 200 million Americans were watching. Larry, that's an unfathomable number. 200 million were watching that. And at the end of the day, if you stream this trial live, people will be transfixed on it.
So they can't do that in New York.
No. Well, you know how it is, Larry. Different jurisdictions, different states. Never in federal court, but this isn't federal. But
state.
And it's not, we don't have cameras in our courtrooms here. Some of them in Texas, I worked there. That was kind of fun because it gives you access. I think it's archaic that we have these silly courtroom artists drawing these weird sketches, but it is what it is.
When you think about it, in reality, if it's in an open court,
right.
Why can't it be on television?
Right. It mostly comes down to stodgy judges who don't want to be on camera and they want to control the courtroom. It's true. And the argument is that lawyers will start performing because they're on camera and it'll affect the jury because they're on camera and everything else.
But there's probably some legitimacy.
Yeah, but you could argue that about every news coverage, every story in the world. Come on, man. Let's all move into the 90s anyway. Speaking of television coverage, I want to get into the detail, the minutiae of what happened with Billy Joel. And I want people to be very clear understanding this because they're bombarding KDKTV down the hill. And, you know, I love those folks. They had nothing to do with this. Nothing. So what happened last night, Billy Joel was in the middle of, what was it, Piano Man?
Yes.
And they immediately went to black and immediately went to local news. Well, now people all over the country went ballistic, as they should. Some egghead in New York, not Pittsburgh. KDKTV Pittsburgh had nothing to do with this decision. It was completely out of their control. So here's what happens. The Masters goes long, 2 minutes. They run a news break, a two-minute news break. That delays local news supposedly by 2 minutes. The egghead in the private jets in New York said, just dump out of Billy Joel with 2 minutes left in the concert and hack off every single American watching that live show. Some egghead. And now they're dumping on KDKT again for the 12th time. This has nothing to do with KDKTV Pittsburgh. They had no control of this decision.
They cannot control that.
They can't.
Just so you know.
Someone would get fired. Some pinhead with a helicopter and a penthouse suite and $100 million in stock made this decision and screwed up every single local affiliate in the country as a result. 2 minutes, Larry.
So around the country, affiliates like KDK are answering calls
all day
about something that they couldn't control.
The old KDKTV sucks. It had nothing to do with KDKTV.
Well, we had Big Rob down there years ago.
Yes,
he's a security guy, but he also answered those calls.
Yep.
And when March Madness started, you had the basketball games or the tennis, and they took the network because they have to.
Yep. They have to. They have no choice.
They would get screaming people, where's my soap opera?
So true.
And poor Rob.
Poor Rob. He was a wonderful man. He loved you, man. He used to pick you up and put you in his pocket.
6'8".
It was cute.
He was my man over.
Hold on. What did you say? You had this great line with him because you used to bring him on the air.
The everyman sports fan, a man too big to be wrong.
A man too big to be wrong. He brought you put him on every Friday. He was wonderful on air.
Who's going to tell him he's wrong?
He was wonderful.
You know what he did for me? I did a live shot for a Steeler game in the parking lot back in the day. And there was a guy that thought it might be cute if he tackled me during my live broadcast. And Big Rob was there. Stepped in front of the guy. He looked up. Like, who are you? Okay.
So and Rob had this really cool voice. And I get calls, threatening calls sometimes, or someone would come into the studio, into the lobby to try and jack with me. And Rob would go, I'll take care of this, Marty.
He was he recently retired.
Love him. But again, this has nothing to do with KDK-TV. This is an executive pinhead in New York.
So if you have an issue with this, go to Get Marty.
Larry, over 2 minutes. 2 minutes. That's what this was about. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Coming up, we're going to talk to retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. Where do we go from here with what's going on in Israel facing Iran in this case and keeping it from escalating?
We're very excited for you.
Larry Richard with Marty Griffin. This is the Big K Morning Show. Over the weekend, the attack on Israel by Iran has headlines around the world saying, are we on the brink? And joining us is CBS military expert, consultant, former or retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, who we've talked to many times over the years. And Colonel, we thought we'd reach out to you. You have such a good handle on all of this. How do you sort through what transpired over the weekend?
Well, clearly this is an unprecedented event. I mean, it was not really a surprise. The Iranians had threatened a response after Israel conducted an airstrike in Damascus, Syria about a week or 8 days ago, killing a senior Iranian Revolutionary Guard, Quds Force commander, his deputy, and several others. So this had been expected. But I would say that I was surprised in terms of the size. I mean, we're talking 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones as part of the attack. The target set, it seemed to be they were firing at targets across a large portion of the state of Israel, and that it emanated directly from Iran, from Iranian soil. That had never been happened before. One could argue that Iran and Israel have been locked in a shadow conflict for many, many years. This was the first direct attack by Iran, unambiguous, against Israeli territory. But on the other hand, one can argue this was an enormous, I believe, strategic failure on the part of the Iranians. They fired those 300 weapons, but 99% of them were destroyed before they could reach target. And there are also many reports of a large number of failures in launch or missiles that went astray once they were launched by the Iranians. So not exactly a great showing on their on their part. They did seem to land a couple of explosive devices near an Israeli airfield, which had been used in the conduct of this airstrike in Damascus, but did very minor damage to a hangar, I think one runway. Apparently, the only fatality so far reported was a Palestinian girl who lived in a village adjacent to that particular airbase, but no significant damage on the Israeli side. And now, of course, the question becomes, how do the Israelis respond? We know their war cabinet is meeting to discuss that right now.
This is why I love you, because you're so intuitive with this stuff. And tell me if I'm in the ballpark here. This is either a testament to really bad technology and lousy drones, or great technology in this Iron Dome, or kind of somewhere in between, sir. What do you say?
Well, I think it's bad technology and bad technique on the Iranian side. I mean, they launched these drones initially, ostensibly perhaps to destroy Israeli air defenses, thinking that would then facilitate the arrival of the missiles. But those drones take about 8 or 9 hours, so you're kind of telegraphing your punch here when you begin doing that without question. And then second of all, these failures along the way in terms of delivering ordnance, and then underestimating, I think, to some degree, the response by Israel, as well as the United States. U.S. military forces shot down about 80 drones, 5 or 6 missiles as well, using our particular assets in the region. So not exactly a great showing on the Iranian side. On the Israeli side, really, I think I said before, I think a dramatic success in its ability to integrate that response, which really was an integrated response, not only by the shooters, you know, but a lot of the integration of target analysis. I'm confident that the United States was providing the Israelis large-scale intelligence on the tracking of missiles, the tracking of drones, using the radars, sensors, satellite imagery that we have to do that, to make this an integrated response by the Israelis, by the United States, and some of our allies, most notably the British, were also involved in response.
So he's been in conflict. He's highly decorated, highly regarded within the military community. And we've had this discussion, sir, regarding Ukraine, now regarding the Middle East. Is this the most volatile time you've seen in decades, sir, in terms of always on the precipice?
Yeah, I would say without doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that we are being tested dramatically around the world. The ongoing conflict in Ukraine has kind of receded into the back pages of a newspaper or back of you all's show, I'm sure, as we focus so much on the Gaza Strip. But at the same time, we have this growing, you know, competition at best or confrontation at worst between the United States and China in the Indo-Pacific region, which is going to demand an awful lot of further attention on the part of our military forces. Well, at the same time, it's one thing to have those threats, and then you say, well, how well are we responding? And at the same time, the United States Congress can't even get around to voting on a military aid package for Ukraine or and Israel. I mean, whether you're in favor of that or opposed to that, it just seems to me that we as a people should at least bring it to a vote to decide what direction we're going, because as we dither, I think we look very weak, and those opponents around the world, whether it's Putin, whether it's the Ayatollah in Tehran, whether it's Shiite militia groups, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's the Chinese or whoever, are just going to take advantage of it.
And where do we go from here today? It sounds like the allies of Israel are encouraging them not to retaliate, or at least right away, in any significant way.
Yeah, that seems to be the case, Larry, without a doubt. The Biden administration, I think, is urging diplomacy. Again, I think urging, and I think rightfully so, that you could declare this a great Israeli success, quite frankly, use that as a vehicle to galvanize a more large-scale diplomatic effort to isolate Iran even further. The president's already called for and conducted a meeting with the G7 members. There will be a meeting of the UN Security Council. I don't think there will be anything dramatic come out of that meeting, because I think that the Russians, the Chinese will, on the Security Council, will protect the Iranians. But that being said, calling on the world community to more isolate Iran because of what they've done. And that, to me, at the moment, it would be to Israelis' benefit, since they have been losing a lot of support in the world community. Now is a chance to recover some of that, number one. While focusing your attention right now, you got a lot of war going on if you're Israel. The major conflict still going on in the Gaza Strip. You have four or five fronts, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's the West Bank, whether it's Gaza, whether it's the Houthis, whether it's groups in Syria that you got to contend with. So it seems to me right now a massive military response against Iran, and now expanding this war even further, is going to obviously complicate the ongoing military operations, make a possibility of a ceasefire and the recovery of the hostages almost impossible.
Well, a lot of good people around the world holding their breath to see what happens next. Colonel, we always appreciate your insight and input. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst, on the Big K Morning Show. Week from Monday, the Green Voice and Duquesne Light present the 9th annual Pittsburgh Earth Day Sustainable Business Breakfast at the Fairmont, Pittsburgh. By the way, it is now sold out. Marty and I will be there at the Fairmont.
When is that? Is that this
Monday.
Week?
Monday.
Wow.
You're going to be off, aren't you? Don't you dare call
My voice is starting to crack.
Don't you dare.
The event's wonderful, but they put us like a block away in the dark in a maintenance shed for 4.5 hours. Larry, last year, it was me and you. But here's the thing for me. It's bonding time for us. I get to get closer to you.
Charlie Borges was our producer on site.
Loved him.
Victor Borga.
I call him Gorgeous George.
I call him Victor Borga. I said Victor Borga. He had no idea who Victor Borga was.
Colin Dunlap, 10 anyway. To 2. So we got
You know what?
So many things.
I thought of this.
Uh-oh.
Marty, you'll know the answer to this because you got the pulse of everybody in the world. Do they still make the – not make them because they probably pay them overtime. Do they put the people at work at the post office out on the sidewalk today so you don't even have to get out of your car? Remember they used to do that?
There are some drop-off points, but they don't put them outside anymore.
No, it used to
be. That used to be big.
It was a big live show for TV people every year.
They would extend it
on Grand Street and California Avenue.
People would buy them pizza.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that don't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't, brother.
That was the live shot and B-roll.
It's so true.
The go-to this
day.
So
true.
Obligatory.
Oh, totally oblique. Like the Pirates packing up for Florida.
It
was like
true.
One of those yearly B-rolls.
Yep.
They're live shots.
Hey, man. So he's into, and his son is into, and it's, by the way, it's one of the things I love about him. He's an insanely, insanely committed father, and his son loves trains and NASCAR. I thought about you this weekend, man. Did you see the finish of that one race, Larry?
Oh, the Xfinity race on Saturday.
By looking at it, you could not tell which guy won.
Oh, yeah, it was a photo finish.
It was like literally Larry by a half an inch or like by 2 inches. It was crazy.
It was incredible. It was really great. We were yelling at the TV.
I bet you. I thought about you the minute
we were. We were standing
that.
In the living room. And the guy that almost won has never won in like 12 years of doing this.
Uh-huh. That was literally a photo finish.
It was. It was great.
I was at the Heinz History Center yesterday. They have one of Chip Ganassi's cars in there.
Target cars.
It's cool, man.
That's a wonderful facility, Larry. What you said is really true.
Looks like it's a rocket ship.
That's a magnificent facility.
It really is. So what are you going to talk about? There's a whole convergence of things today.
There's a lot to talk
about. Whoa, convergence. Is it a Pyrrhic victory? Pyrrhic. You said it right.
Pyrrhic victory.
Pyrrhic, okay.
Harmonic convergence today. It's all coming together.
You ever heard of that?
A confluence.
Pyrrhic victory?
That's spelled interestingly.
P-H-E-R-I-C.
Yeah, define it for me.
It is.
No, it's P-Y-R-R-H-I-C, Mr. Richard.
Same difference. Same difference.
Yep, you wouldn't win the spelling bee.
Same difference.
What is it? Well, nonetheless, what's the definition here?
The definition is.
It's something ridiculous. A victory that is kind of ugly.
At the greater cost, is the price you paid to win worth?
We won the war, but the nuke killed 400,000 people. That's a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah, I was thinking more on along the lines like if the Penguins make the playoffs, is it really?
That's actually that's great assessment, but they get swept in three or something.
Does it push the organization forward, or is it better for them to not make it?
Hey Siri, what's a Pyrrhic victory?
Oh, here we go.
We'll see.
A landslide victory is an election result.
No, come on.
So hold on, Colin. I want to ask you this.
Although I do want them to make the playoffs because of the economic boon that it brings in.
But hold on, because you make a really good point, and a lot of folks are talking about this. Is it better for them to lose and kind of sort of make a lot of changes, i.e. blow up the team?
Right.
Or to win and carry on with what they have? What do you say?
Just like the Steelers. It made no
sense.
Like the Steelers, it would have been better for them to not make the playoffs.
And blow it up or change it.
Yes, or get a better draft spot, all that kind of stuff. It's just smoke and mirrors. Like, if the Penguins get in,
right?
How far are they going to go anyway?
Well, that's a good question.
But they could get on a roll.
However, the way they've been playing in the last 2 weeks kind of makes you feel like if they do get in, they got a shot to make
a little
noise.
I'd like them to, but I think they wore out a goalie that can't play every single day.
God. Oh, wow, that's interesting. I don't know hockey, but I've heard.
Yeah, he's right. They were on such a hot streak, and then Saturday night he gave up three quick goals.
And you can't blame him. He's just worn out.
Is that true?
It seems like it.
Okay.
I don't think he was accustomed to nor ever signed up for playing this much.
Oh, wow.
You know who's annoying is that Marchand guy?
He's bad.
I apologize. Who is that? I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
Brad Marchand. He's the captain of the Bruins.
Oh, is he?
He's a dirty player in my opinion.
Kind of looks like the lead character in Ratatouille.
He's the guy that licked opponents on their face. You remember that?
Wow. Yeah, like Morgana.
Oh, wow.
Seriously.
I kind of like this guy.
To the point they thought there's mentally a question of
he might be a good talk host. I'm kind of digging him.
Did you ever get kissed by Morgana?
Whoa.
Morganza?
Morgana. Was that lady, the kissing bandit? What was her name?
With the massive...
Morganza.
Was it?
Or Morgana.
It was Morgana.
I don't believe there was... I think Morganza's a road in
the
South Hills.
And the Bonanza's a restaurant you worked at. Come on, Larry.
No, wasn't her name Morgana?
Come on,
Larry.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Come on,
Larry,
get it together, bro.
You seem like the kind of guy that would have a run-in with Morgana at some point in your life.
Whoa.
No, because he's just been around. No, not like that.
Larry!
No. I mean, like, you would have done a feature or something, or she would have come in a studio.
On the job.
Right.
Wow, Larry on the job.
Jeez.
Colin Dunlap
coming
up on
Love Him.
Tax Deadline Day, Jackie Robinson Day, the sinking of the Titanic Day.
There are people freaking out right now over their taxes. Right now freaking out.
And I get it.
Well, failure to prepare is whatever.
Did you see
the number of people that made over 400 grand and made no tax, nothing, claimed nothing, filed nothing? Huh? How does that work out for you, bro?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No, don't.